Ask Catherine, what's your preferred suspicion for the party behind the gold manipulation? Fed, Chinese agents, I think it was the G7 central banks and treasuries acting in a concerted effort. As you watched, and both among the G7 and outside in the G20, you saw central banks starting to ask the U.S. to send their gold back. You had a referendum in Switzerland pushing towards getting the Swiss central bank to pull their gold back. The problem is, if all the central banks pull their gold back, not everybody has enough gold so they can do it. And we saw the U.S. saying it would take many, many years to get back the gold to Germany when Germany asked for their gold back. So I think the G7 banks said, okay, if we're coming into a position where we have to shrink the financial system, we're going to have bail-ins, how do we get ready? And one of the ways we do it is to cover our shorts, both in the central banking system and in the banks, to bring in that gold. So I think this was a very institutionalized, organized, top-down effort to drive the price down and bring in as much inventory as possible. Think about it. The way to cover your gold shorts is to make money covering your gold shorts. You short the gold, you drive the price down, you make a profit, you use that to buy in gold cheap. Makes a lot of sense. That's why when people say they're always worried about confiscation, I can't conceive of why you'd be worried about confiscation. The central banks can bring in far, and the treasuries can bring in far more gold far faster, on a much more profitable basis. Doing it this way, confiscation would be very expensive. So they'd have to pay market price, and the overhead would be terrific, and the political battle would waste their time. So this is confiscation by market profitable means. Okay, is the real reason why the Egyptian people are overthrowing their government once again because of the fact that their people are experiencing severe economic hardship? If so, our media is doing a good job of not reporting on this. I'm guessing they don't want to spread the notion that if you're not happy with the economic condition of your life right now, that you should rise up and overthrow your government. I think the driving force here is deflationary forces. As I said, we have falling commodity prices and money pulling back from the emerging markets. I don't underestimate politics and social media manipulation and all of that going on, because there's no doubt we're sort of turning over a whole generation of dictators we've supported and putting in new people. But so yes, I do think intelligence agency operations are at work, but I do think probably the driving force is the deflationary forces working on the economics. Would you talk a bit about the increase in lender insurance? FHA now makes it forever forget the 78% loan-to-value. Insurance stays on, and rates are going up, up, up. As I said earlier, I think we see reports that FHA is now in trouble. They've been a source of tremendous liquidity during the last few years as we were cleaning up all the problems in the housing market and the fraud from the bailouts. And so FHA, it appears from reports, is probably tapped out. But more importantly, we see reports of people wanting, or Congress interested in privatizing Fannie and Freddie and pulling in their horns. The reality is that housing prices have grown over the last five decades from an enormous investment of federal credit into retail housing and individual housing and supporting the home ownership rate. I don't see how that kind of federal credit support continues. So I expect it to be diminished, and the tax benefits that go into housing probably diminished. As if you look at what's been driving the price of housing up, it's very much inflation and the federal credit and the tax benefits and simply building bigger houses. So as I said in the housing interview, don't be surprised as the federal credit withdraws and the tax benefits get chiseled away at if you see the size of housing going down. We've seen the growth of the tiny house movement, tiny home movement, and I think that's in anticipation of these changes. Another question. Hopefully you will get this before your second quarter wrap-up. I could not leave these questions on the blog. Will Bernanke be able to even try and taper his QE policies before he leaves? If Bernanke does step down in January 2014 and Yellen takes his place, does she not have a more aggressive QE policy? If QE doesn't stop, how can either the bond or stock market How can either the bond or stock market go down? A lot of this depends on how much capital is being pulled back into North America. It is absolutely possible. Bernanke has pulled, should have pulled by, and certainly by January, most of the fraudulent paper off the bank's balance sheets, and the big bank should be able to go through a tapering without too much trouble. They're not dependent on the retail market in the United States to do well. So the question is, how much other capital is coming in, and can that give enough lift to the economy to make the transition from sort of Fed capital to returning capital, like a football team would pass the ball from one to another, you know, can it pass? I think yes. When that happens, it's going to be painful, and it could be painful in the bond market between the a tapering of monetary infusions and what we have to do in the fiscal area. The bond market could have some very painful years, so we have to be prepared for that. But can it happen? Yeah, will Yellen probably take over from Bernanke? I think if the decision was made today, the answer is yes. She's been certainly accommodative in terms of monetary policy, and I think can be expected to be accommodative. The reality is that if you look at how both monetary and fiscal policy is, we're locked into an inflationary policy, at least to keep liquidity floating in the financial system. But don't be surprised, as I said, to see bailouts proceed and the financial system to be shrunk. We do not need as big a financial system as we have.